wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The big question awaits your answer. I need not tell you that we are living in a day of big questions. When man's scientific discoveries even threaten the life of man on the earth, we shall now consider the greatest of all questions and one that personally concerns each one of us. Neighbor, it concerns you, and it involves both your life on earth and when you leave here, too. Face it and give it an honest answer. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Here was a man asking himself a question. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, while intending to put it all up to the populace and clear his hands of it, instead, he but uttered the big question that had arisen in his own soul and that he had to answer. This question arises in your inner being and presses itself on your conscience, your soul, your will, and it awaits your answer, for no one can answer it for you. It must have your personal answer. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Do you react thus? Oh, that's some religious talk. I'm not studying about that. Hold it, neighbor. Do you know that you have to do with Jesus? You didn't know that, did you? Jesus Christ of Nazareth stands across your pathway, and you have to do with him. You cannot dismiss this question so easily. When the state police stops you, do you tell him not to bother you? You're not studying about him. No, you don't, for you know better. Do you ignore him and go on? You wouldn't be such a fool. Then don't be a greater one by trying to ignore Jesus Christ or trying to dodge this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Look at that legal paper. It reads, in the year of our Lord, for all time is reckoned from the birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A loving mother sings, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. In a swing, a happy boy sings, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if you visit the clubs of the wicked, even there you hear, Jesus Christ. That same name used in blasphemy. Why don't they say Julius Caesar or Napoleon Bonaparte? Who can this Jesus of Nazareth be? This man lived on earth over 1900 years ago, yet his name is the most spoken and written of in all the world today. This fact should make each one who is a seeker after truth ask, who is this Jesus Christ? Let me tell you in plain speech. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the creator of this world and this universe. He is your maker. He is the one who undertook to provide for your salvation. He came down from heaven to become a real man, and he lived in the lowly little town of Nazareth. That's why his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He still humbled himself to become obedient unto death, even the awful death of Calvary's cross, in order to make salvation possible to you, to be your Savior. He arose from the dead and showed himself the victor over all the powers of wickedness that had held you in their grip. He is your living deliverer. Jesus Christ is the one who made you, the one who died to save you, and the one who lives to be your deliverer. No wonder you have to do with him. You are involved in all that he did. It was for you. Would you persist in trying to ignore him and fail to acknowledge all that he's done for you? The question remains, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Some try to change it and say, what will you do with Mary? That's only a side issue. Just like the Jews in the day of our Lord, who are making Moses and their temple the big issue. Neighbor, don't let the devil bait you into arguing about this or that kind of religion. Face the big question. The vital issue, what shall I do then with Jesus? Not Moses or Mary or Peter either. They are only human beings and they cannot save you. Face the big question and decide today. Some are hard-boiled in their rebellion. They say, preacher, I'm not going to do anything about your Jesus. No preacher yet has gotten a move out of me. I am hard-boiled. I confess, you may throw the gospel tract into the rubbish and never enter a church house and refuse to hear a preacher. You're no wonder in achieving this, for these are only paper, meetings, and men. But your Creator, your Savior, your Deliverer, your God, say, He is someone else. You may watch your Christian father and mother die and chuckle to yourself, they'll torment me no more with their tracts and testaments and talks to me. But you will not be done with them even then, for they will arise in the judgment and condemn you. Such will be the testimony of your Christian parents, your Christian mate, in the day of judgment. You may see the little chapel closed up, the last meeting held in it. You think you're done with it, but you're not. In eternity, when God puts your life's history on His screen, you shall see yourself sitting in seats at Sunday school as the gospel of Christ touched your young heart. And for all eternity, you'll retain the memory of the gospel light God gave you in that little country chapel. You may even see the pages of the Bible burn, but you are not done with it. Hearken to the words of the judge of all men, your judge. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, the word that I have spoken to him, the same shall judge him in the last day. Every word of Scripture will face you in that day, whether a verse memorized in the Sunday school or a verse you mocked. Now, if you say, what matters what I do with Jesus? He's dead. That's your big mistake. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not a dead Jew, but he's the living Son of God. Hear the voice of this victor over death. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And now he stands before you. The spittle and the crown of thorns are all gone. His power and glory shine forth. You cannot dodge him. You cannot ignore him. Your inner being trembles as you face the crucial moment of all your life when you must answer this greatest of all questions. What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? Your memory torments you as you recall how you have again and again rejected him and have made fun of his claims while you received the applause of your buddies. You remember how you turned him down and then strutted off in pride. You cannot forget those fights you had with your troubled conscience, and finally you told your conscience to be still and never to bring that subject up again. You walked off like a conqueror, never dreaming that while you might silence your conscience and be praised by your buddies, yet you must face your Creator, your Savior, and your God, and stand in His presence with all heaven demanding of you, what did you do with Jesus? That question you hear, it troubles you. There is a reality to all this after all. It is not some religious chatter. You have neglected God's great salvation. You have ignored your Savior, but in great mercy He still lingers, being not willing that you should perish. If you now feel your guilt, I will show you what God's salvation involves. Suppose Henry is dating a Mary, a Jane, and a Helen. When he gets serious about marriage, he faces this. To choose Mary, he must break with Jane and Helen. That's what it involves. And if you will now choose Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you must bid this world farewell and turn away from your sins and resign yourself. This is what it involves. This, there is no compromise. This world crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and cast him out, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." So you cannot have this world and receive Christ too. Your sins are wicked before God. They're acts of God defiance. And you cannot have your sins and have God's salvation too. Then there is your dearest loved one, yourself, all filled with self-ambitions and self-love and self-glory. You must resign yourself, deny yourself. Let old self go down into the dust at the feet of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose claims are these: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It will mean for you that self will be buried with Christ, and Christ will be all in and all. Your new ambition will be, for me to live, Christ. Would you blame Mary if when Henry proposed to her, she said, "Henry, first I must know, are you willing to turn away from Jane and from Helen?" Now, if you are willing to turn loose this world and your sins and yourself, then the biggest battle is over, just as with Henry. And when you repent, God will open your eyes by His Holy Spirit to see the attractive loveliness of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In His eyes you will see tenderness and grace for you. In his extended piercing hands you will see His amazing mercy for you. What does this mean? This is the moment of decision. In your soul, a big question arises. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? You must now receive Him or reject Him. It's now or never. As God awaits your decision, there is silence in heaven. There is only heard the prayers of your Christian friends. Don't look to me. I cannot decide for you. Right now, tell God your heart choice to receive His Son, Jesus, and confess to Jesus Christ your surrender to Him to be your Lord and Savior. This decision will give you God's salvation in Christ Jesus with all its blessings in this life and the life to come. It will turn your night today from the darkness of sin to the light and peace and joy of knowing Jesus as your own Lord and Savior. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.
Jesus, the Savior of sinners, came into the world that His hand.